holiness and things that they're seeing happen right here on the earth. Constantly, he's moving on our behalf. But the enemy uses fear to keep us from, when we are actually created for him and his glory. So, I've preached this over many times. I'm going to see how good you got it. Revelation is not hidden from us. It's hidden. Oh, y'all get gold stars, every one of you. Gold stars. Revelation is not hidden from you. It's hidden for you. So, at the correct, proper, perfect time, God will reveal some of himself to you when you need it. Because if he just put it on display all the time, well, he's on display all the time, and we don't do so well with that because we forget he's there. So when we call on his name, it's in a begging fashion, God, begging fashion, God, please. But when I'm in need and he reveals something to me, and like, oh, there it is. Man, that makes me like, the whole time, it was not hidden from me. It was hidden for me. So I was created for praise, for his glory. So the enemy wants to throw an opposing thing. So the enemy wants me to think he wants to keep me from praise and from glorifying God. So how does he use that? Fear. Fear. Before this thing dies on me, I'm so challenged. So I just saw my son a second ago. He came over here and he went like, I was like, son, don't touch it. He could figure it out. This is a quote from A.W. Tozer. Outside of the will of God, outside of the will of God, there's nothing I want. Inside the will of God, there's nothing I fear. Isn't that good? Don't you just wish sometimes you'd have thought of stuff like that? Like, man. And people that can constantly do that. Do what? Okay. Outside of the will of God, there's nothing I want. Inside the will of God, there's nothing I fear. And an angel would show up and remind you, fear not. Well, we would... Here's the thing, if the angel actually showed up, he would be there to help you. Sometimes the first thing we are afraid of is the blessing that's on the way. We don't recognize it so much that we're afraid of it, and it's trying to get there to bless us. Fear is not supposed to have a part in our lives. It is the enemy. An enemy's attack is proof of his fear of you in a particular area of your life. Is there an area of your life that the enemy continually attacks you in fear of? With fear? That's probably an indicator. Fear that tries to creep in your life should be an indicator to you that the enemy is trying to keep you from something that God has for you. That was good, honey. I dare not try to repeat that. That was good, though. That was good. So here's the scripture. Lord, please help this thing to stay alive. 2 Timothy 1. And I'm really struggling. Let's just go to 7. I'll probably come back and grab a couple more, but let's just start with 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that's not, I quoted that. That's not the translation that I'm going to use. I'm going to use a different translation because I think this one will explain what he's saying. It doesn't take away from it. It just helps explain it. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and in self-discipline. And I started this a couple weeks ago, but I really believe that I should come back to this. God has not given us a spirit of fear. And timidity. Timidity actually means to be in fear of something. So what that is saying is that God has not given us a spirit that would make us live inside of a bubble of fear. The enemy uses fear to try and keep you trapped inside a bubble of fear. A bubble of untapped potential. A bubble that keeps you from going where you should go, but you don't go there because you think you can't. An enemy uses intimidation against you. Here's the whole thing about intimidation. Intimidation is used because the one using the intimidation knows that you can do something. They just want you to think you can't. If they can get you to live inside of fear and doubt, and I can't, then that's where they will keep you trapped forever. In that place. And as Christians and believers, instead of saying, you know, I got to be careful now when I use the word Christian because it's so broadly painted. But a believer in Jesus Christ and in His holy word, every page. I said the other week, I believe in Him all the way to the maps. Some of y'all got the old Bibles. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I believe him in the maps. But that kind of person, really, according, if you're going to take him as the teacher and his instruction, we have no right to fear. It's not even in our. But we negotiate it every day. What are we doing? You know, there's a place in the Bible where it talks about the prodigal son. It said he came to himself. You remember that? It said when he came to himself, he was eating hog food, hog slop, husks. There was not even any good corn left. There was the husk of the corn. He's eating that junk, and it says he came to himself. You ever have those come to yourself moments when you're like, John, what are you doing? Well, I'm praying right now that we have a believer's come to themselves moment this morning about fear. Not that you walk out of here big and puffed up, except for that you belong to Him. And that is your credential. I'm a child of God. And anything that I go through, He's not surprised by it. You know, since this thing has happened with Kenzie, it's coming up on 4 months. Wednesday will be 4 months. I can't believe it's been that long. But something that has confronted me is every sermon I've ever preached. This thing has moved me from holding the mic to sitting there watching myself preach. And I am confronted with what I've said. Because earlier this year, I said this from a place of faith. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? And I say that as an encouragement for those of us who were going through stuff. And I accepted that by faith, and now I'm confronted with that. So every prayer that we prayed, is it still occurred to me that nothing has ever occurred to God? See, we don't like to go through stuff. We like to come out of stuff. We don't like to go through stuff. But there's something that happens when we go through something. We were having men's fellowship this morning, and myself and one of the other gentlemen that was here, we both used the term less fortunate, right? Like we're working with someone that's less fortunate. And it just all of a sudden it hit me after I said it. I was like, maybe I'm confusing something there. Maybe God is taking us sometimes. I know we get ourselves into our own messes and things like that, but sometimes when we feel less fortunate, maybe we should feel more fortunate that God saw fit to bring us to a place so we can come out of it. And I use this example. Last week I spoke that we are the planting of the Lord. Isaiah says at 61 that we are the planting of the Lord. We're oaks of righteousness for His glory. You know, planted to bring Him glory. But the thought of being planted, if you're the seed, it feels just like being buried. What's the difference? It's dark. It's damp. It's dirt. It's wet. It's alone. And you feel buried alive. So you feel buried, but you're really planted. See, we wanna grow and be all this, you know. But it's got to start with that less fortunate thing. We don't do good with wildernesses. We actually despise wildernesses. Man, it's getting heavier than I meant for it to get. Let me go back over here to my ugly. It seems like a cord that thick should be able to get some juice going in this thing. That's like the ugliest cord in history. I pulled it out of that closet this morning because I was looking for something matching. I was like, whoo, we got the yellow special. All right, Christine, will you come write that for me? Because I want you to get this. As she's writing, I just kind of want you to, if you can keep from watching her write it, I want you to read it. Yeah. I want you to read it all at one time. Because when I read this is actually at a particular place in our home. And it ministered to me. It just about knocked me down. I'm not kidding you. It's that strong. It's that good. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So if God has not given us that spirit of fear and timidity, where the enemy wants to keep us and he wants to intimidate us and keep us from. But God's given us the spirit of power and of love and of sound mind. So he's not given us this spirit, he's given us that spirit. He's not given us the spirit that's not from him, he's given us the spirit that is from him for us. Power and love and of a sound mind. This other translation said self-discipline. Boy, is that good. Sound mind. But it's taking responsibility for my very thoughts. My son right here is learning about life and growing up. And he told me a little while ago, he said, "Dad, can you use me in a sermon this morning?" Here we are. I'll work in. Say something a little bit. You want a standing up part. Okay. Stand up. All right, sit down. See, you had not because you asked not. But he's figuring things out. And it's amazing how you see where you were about the same time that he's going through it. And his perception of things is full of questions, and that's a good thing right now. It's a really a good thing. I spoke last week or the week before, and I said, you know, some pastors, some preachers, some people, some, and I'm well-meaning, but sometimes we teach out of what we know instead of out of what it says. I don't want to be somebody that just teaches what I learned unless I learned it really from him. But, you know, it's been said, you're not supposed to question God. I'm not that preacher. I'm going to say question him. I mean, if he knows everything, question him. And if we're a child, I mean, I still, he's 11 years old, I still get the why, dads. Why? You know, that also stretches me. It really stretches me. Because I feel like I've got a responsibility here. You know, if he's going to listen to my instruction. So keep asking questions. When he calls us children in the Bible, I don't think I have ever read a place where he calls us adults. You are adults of God. I'm an adult of God. He still keeps me classified as a child of God, right? Am I wrong? So as a child, there's some things that need to remain in me. And I believe that questioning thing needs to remain until it gets settled inside of me. See, I've told Christine this thing that we're going through has drawn something out of me that, I mean, it's drawn out a lot. It's drawn out some huge questions that I had for God. When you lose a child, I hope no one ever does, but it'll make you question stuff. And I've laid it myself bare before the Lord. Because at the end, I've taken a scripture and applied it to my life in a different way. The scripture that talks about once more he will shake everything. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken, so that which remains will be that which cannot be shaken. I said, so just principally, Christine, I need to understand that our whole world has been so shaken. And we had a lot of broken moments the other day. She said, or a few weeks ago, she said, John, nobody understands. I said, Christine, we don't understand. She said, John, nobody knows. I said, Christine, we don't know. We're knowing as we go. It's a very hard place to be. But everything that can be shaken. Y'all, you've heard me. Y'all know me. You guys that come here, you know me. You know my number one fear. Is something happening to these guys? I'm living it now. My nightmare is exposed every day. It's the worst Groundhog Day you could ever imagine. Keeps coming back. Ta-da! Wake up. Oh, that thing. Yeah, that thing. It's every day now. So, in order to move past that, I've got to find what I can settle in on, because everything that can be shaken has been shaken. So at the end of this, something's going to remain. It has to be something that can't be shaken. That's right. Because what the enemy means for evil, there's always another side. We often mistake fear for wisdom. Fear is loud, irrational, and hopeless until it gets its way. Fear cannot think of any solutions outside of control. Keep you inside of its bubble. Whatever it takes, keep you in. If you get outside of the bubble, wisdom sees from all different angles and in hope knows what to do. Why does the enemy want to keep you in a bubble of fear? It's the simplest answer. I'm not trying to hit you with something theological. I'm not trying to make you think too hard. Why does the enemy want to keep you inside of a bubble of fear? Because if you're not inside a bubble of fear, you're outside a bubble of fear, then you're dangerous. Outside. Fear cannot think of any solutions. The enemy wants to make you to think you can't. So that here is somebody that's living in fear and intimidation. They are so convinced that they won't win that they don't even engage anymore. So convinced. And the whole thing about fear and intimidation is not that you can't win. It's just keeping you in a place where you think you can't. Come on. If y'all don't know, we tag team this thing. She's actually smarter than that.
No, I just think, like, fear, I think fear is like when you have, let's just, for an example, I like examples. Do y'all like examples? Real life examples. Like, you got a bill that you can't pay, okay? I mean, you cannot pay it. Friday's coming, you cannot pay the bill. There's nothing in your account to pay this bill. Fear is going to kick you in to think of any solution that you can control. I'm going to call my parents. I'm going to see if I can get a loan. I'm going to call them and see if I can take care of it, or if they can wait another month. You get into fear and you start striving. You can't think of any solutions outside of control. What can I do to fix this problem? Wisdom says, wait a minute. The word of God says Jehovah Jireh is my provider. I'm just going to be still. I'm going to be still and just seek him and see what he says. Sometimes he will give us solutions that are in our control. How many times, though, has God been ready to just give us that miracle? But up, we did it. We fixed it. We borrowed it. We took it. We changed it. When he was ready to just answer in a miraculous way. That's what wisdom is. That's what it says. It doesn't say it's irresponsibly lays in bed and says, God will pay my bill. That's foolishness. But it says it seeks from all different angles, and then in hope it knows what to do. You know whether to wait. You know whether to move. You know whether to call. You know whether to stop. Does that make sense? Yeah.
And God doesn't want you to live in desperation because you got yourself into a place of desperation. It's where he's always having to get you out. Do you understand that wilderness living required a miracle every day for 40 years? God doesn't want that. The land that's flowing with milk and honey is not that same place. He doesn't want you to be at a place that you need a miracle every day, and if he doesn't show up, that's desperation. That really would not be, if that was the way it was going to be, that would not be a good God. That would be a controlling thing that kept you down, that you never got up unless he wants you to live in freedom and trust. My son doesn't obey me because, well, I'm 200 and something pounds and he's not even 100 yet and I can beat the crap out of him. I'm not sure about that. Intimidation. We have a relationship. He loves me. He trusts me. That's my boy. Oh, I didn't finish my thought a minute ago when I said the unacceptable praise is that the praise that we're pushed to give. Have you ever had your kids? Now this is what I'm going to equate this to. You have your kids. You ever seen somebody with kids? They bring the kids to grandma's house, and then the mom and dad's like, well, sweetie, go over there. Give grandma a hug. And they're looking, oh, I want to give grandma a hug. I'm kind of scared of grandma. I saw her teeth come out and sit on the dresser. Honey, you get over there and hug grandma right now. And you're like, she can take my toys away. So if you have to be encouraged to worship God. You know what I love about my kids? They've all been like this. When I got home, Dad, all they got to do is hear a door close. Dad, or the dog barking. Dad, Dad's home. They always come and run to me. And somebody in my family one time said, man, I wish my kids came and ran to me like that. And he told on more than he meant to tell. I never begged my kids to do that. But a relationship pulled that and cultivated it out of them. And I get the benefit of loving it. So when we come together and we worship God, it's like nobody should have to strike a chord for you to worship God. It's like, man, he's been good to me. I don't care what y'all play. He's been good to me. Does that make sense? Lastly, if I was your enemy, this was written by, please, y'all, don't send me no letters, no emails. When I mention other ministers, I'm not saying they're God or they're God's best friend or God likes him. I'm actually getting ready to go to a conference, and probably some of the most controversial ministers are going to be there speaking. And you know what I'm going to be doing? Praying for them. I'll tell you who they are. And I've sat by a lot of these guys, and I told you, the Lord will put you on platforms with people that you don't even know how you got there. T.D. Jakes, Stephen Furtick, Darius Daniels, who else, Christine, Joel Osteen, and somebody, Ron Carpenter. Okay. And the whole point, and Ron Carpenter's bringing all those guys to San Jose. T.D. Jakes, let me use him last. The millennials, they all know who Stephen Furtick is. So he's going to put him on the stage to try to reach the millennials. Who else did I say? Joel Osteen. Every business owner, that place is, they all know who Joel Osteen is. In California, where they don't have a whole lot of God in California. I've driven 100 miles at a time and not seen but one church. I can drive a half a mile and see 100 churches in South Carolina. Oh, yes. So then you've got T.D. Jakes. Anybody that knows anything about church knows T.D. Jakes. So he brings him in to sweep up all the church people. You see, a strategy of trying to reach somebody at any cost, and then you got Christians saying, well, I don't like that guy. Well, have you prayed for that guy? Yeah, he won't stand beside God before God with you barking like a chihuahua. And you don't want anybody doing that to you either. Pray for these people. Who's your president right now? Pray for him. I never say anything political, ever, but who was your president last time? Did you pray for him? I'm going to pray for him. Do you not realize, as long as I'm there, let me say, God raised up Pharaoh according to his word. Tell me God can't do what he wants to do. So I'll stop getting glassy-eyed and just bring it back. Trust God. So I'm going to be a part of something that's wonderful. So T.D. Jakes said this. Oh, my battery's dying. I just got to notice. If I was your enemy and I wanted to render you powerless, I would worry you to death with so much on your mind that you lost your creativity. You lost your passion. You lost your sense of impact, influence, and purpose. I would just worry you. Fear, enemy tactic, keep you in a bubble. We're actually described in God's word as an army that he's raising up. Well, we need a drill sergeant to work the fear out of us to start with, because we're not looking much like an army. I'm not talking about just this building. Matter of fact, I feel like there's a whole lot of faith inside of this, and I want it to quake the atmosphere where, boom, like a sonic boom, and Ooh, I felt that way over here. What was that? I believe that we should leave out of here in power, and the enemy should be afraid. We are to be blessed coming in and going out. Instead of having it out in the parking lot right after church because honey didn't open the door for me. How quickly the enemy will steal the word out of your life if you will let him. See, it's like this. Spiritually speaking, I might walk out of here smiling, saying bye to everybody, but spiritually, I'm walking out of here smuggling goods. Man, I got some stuff. I got some weapons. I got some tools on me. And it's nothing I can do. It's faith in what he does. Actually, it's faith in what he's already done. I still believe it is finished. Amen. Will you stand this morning? Father, God, you're so good to us. You're so good. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that we don't have to be afraid. God, I just think that we would come so much further. I sense that faith is stirred right now. I sense more faith in the room right now than when I got here this morning. God, could the next time we come, could we start right here? I don't want every time I get in your presence, Lord, for you to have to dig me out of a hole. I don't want you to have to deal with my fear every time we talk, God. I don't want you to have to say, John, I need you to come to yourself. I need you to get a grip. You're my child. I love you. I am with you in everything. I'm working all things for good. Do you love me? Then I'm doing it for you. Do you believe you're called? Then I'm doing it for you. Rest in that, son. Rest in that. I thank you, God, for the times when I need a pep rally. I thank you for times when I know that you're always there. But I want to take any doubt out of you. Not that you could have any, but I want you to know that when you look at me, I'm ready. I want you to know that when I praise you, I haven't been talked into praising you. I want you to know when I worship you, I haven't been coaxed into worship.
Yes, thank you.
I want you to know when I do anything, I'm not doing it because it is a bargaining chip for you to bless me bigger than what I could do. I want you to know that I recognized having you in my life was a clear advantage. And every day I've served you has been another the revelation of that. And that in you, I am whole, I am well, I am complete. And it has nothing to do with the situation that I'm in. God, I want to be content in every situation, like Paul said. Having gone through all the trials, I'm content. Thank you, Jesus, for the freedom that is there when we really walk in faith. You're so good to us. You really are. God, you are so, so good. You really are so good. God, I know that you're going to help us with this fear thing. You're going to move us out of this. It's not your will for us to be trapped and intimidated inside of a bubble on the inside trying to look past something that keeps us locked up from your potential. God, bust that bubble today. Let our faith arise. Let our enemy be scattered. And let your will go forth. And let your kingdom territory be taken. God, if you order our steps, let every step be a kingdom advancement. In Jesus' name. Now, God, I pray for everyone as they leave here. They're going to run into their acquaintances, their family, their friends, their people at work that are over them, under them, beside them. What I'm saying, God, is what you know. I'm not going to meet those people, but they are. Let them leave here as coals of fire. Let them be a benefit to the people that are around them because of your glory being on their lives. I thank you for it in Jesus' name, and I bless your people to walk out of here in clear purpose, not afraid, unafraid, confident, secure, looking for your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we sing that?
Yes.